So, this week, the Sedra is Parshas Vayichi, and this is the last of the Sedras in Bereishis. This is the last of the portions in the book of Genesis. In this week, the Torah describes the end, the last days of Yaakov. Vayichi Yaakov, Yaakov lived, and that's how Yaakov died, by Vayichi Yaakov. He really lived, and even in Egypt he lived. So, in chapter 49, begins Vayikro Yaakov el Bono. Yaakov calls to his sons Vayoymer, and he says, "Hey Osfu, be gathered. Va'agid olachem, and I will tell you, Es ashi yikro eschem ba'acharis hayomim, that which will happen to you at the end of days." Hikoptsu, come together, Vishimu b'nei Yaakov, and listen, sons of Yaakov. Vishimu, and listen, El Yisrael avichem. Listen to Yisrael, your father. Reuven, b'chori ato. Reuven, you're my firstborn, the beginning of my manhood. You're the first in rank, first in power, but because you're unstable as water, you're no longer the first. You moved your father's bed, you committed a profane act, you moved my bed. Shimon and Levi are a pair. Their instruments are weapons. Their crime is just, let my soul not enter their plot, let my spirit not enter, not unite with their meeting, for they've killed men with their anger, they've maimed bulls with their will. Cursed be their rage, for it is fierce, and their fury, for it is cruel. I'll disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Yehuda, your brothers will submit to you. And as soon as Yaakov starts to speak to Yehuda, the whole mood changes. Everything becomes a blessing from then onwards. And right at the end, it says, and this is the blessing that Yaakov blessed his children before he died. So there's a few questions. And the Medrash asks, it's obvious, Yaakov says, he calls his children together. Hey Osfu, gather together. It doesn't say Osfu, it says, hey Osfu, be gathered. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. But Yaakov doesn't tell them what's going to happen at the end of days. How could the Torah tell us that Yaakov said such a thing and he never tells? Must be that he did. But we don't find anywhere in his words. The Medrash says, Bikesh Yaakov legalis esakets. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end of days. Nistalka mimenu Shekhinah. The Shekhinah left him. So, Oma Yaakov. So Yaakov says, Bonai, my children, Shemu yesh psul b'chem, is there something wrong in you that I don't know about? That I'm trying to speak to you, I'm trying to tell you what's going to happen, and the Shekhinah just left me. Poschu v'omru, they said to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Behold, listen, Israel, Hashem our God, Hashem is one. So, the first part of the Medrash, we can understand. Yaakov, because Yaakov legalis is hakeitz, Yaakov wanted to reveal the end. V'nistalkum imen ha-shechinah, and he found that he couldn't say the words. Whatever it was that he wanted to tell them about the end of days, he couldn't say it. So he thought, perhaps it's because there was something wrong with these men, with these 12 sons, that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God is removing himself. So he said to them, Shem Yesh B'chem Psul, maybe there's something wrong among you. And they answered, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekinu Hashem Echad. the end of the Medrash doesn't really answer Yaakov's question. So Reb Shimshon of Ostropolo, the great Kabbalist who was a student of the Megal HaMukos that we were learning last week, he says Yaakov understood that when the brothers sold Yosef, they did a pagam, they did some kind of a damage to the divine. And Yaakov thought that the damage that they did to the divine is, you know, they brought the Shekhinah down to Egypt. They took the Shekhinah out of the Holy Land and they put it into Egypt. But Yaakov understood that the name of God associated with this Shekhinah coming down to Egypt is the name of God that's written Aleph Hei Yud Hei Ekya, which means I will be. When Moshe meets God at the burning bush and he said to him, and the Yidden will ask me, what's your name, what should I tell them? And God says to Moshe, tell them Ekya Shluchani, that God who will be, that I will be who I will be. This is the Shekhinah in Mitzrayim. This is the future. The name of God that we associate, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the divine name of four letters, has a Yud in the beginning, not an Aleph. The Gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26, the Gematria of Ekya is 21. Yaakov Avinu thought that the Yidden are going to be Mitzrayim 190 years, because nine brothers sold Yosef, and the Gematria, you know, 9 times Ekya, 9 times 21 is 189. So he thought 189 years they're going to be in Egypt, 190 they're going to come out. And that's the meaning of Bikish Yaakov Legalis is a Kates. Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates. Kates, Kuf Tzadik is 190. He wanted to explain to them that after 190 years they're gonna leave Egypt. So what happens? The Shekhinah leaves him because he didn't know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the tenth, that in fact God was among the brothers who swore an oath never to tell Yaakov what had happened, that they'd sold Yosef. So God was involved in the selling of Yosef. So in fact, 10 times 21 is 210, not 190. So they were going to be in Egypt 210 years. So Yaakov, he says to his sons, maybe there's some sin that you've done that I don't know about. Because why should there not be 190? And they said to him, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeinu Hashem Echad, that you don't understand that God is one of the ten who sold Yosef. And so 10 times, not 9 times 21. So that's what it means, he says. Reb Shimshon Ostropolo says, Bikesh Yaakov Legalos es Haketz. Yaakov wanted to reveal the 190 years. V'nistalku mimenu Shekhinah doesn't mean that the Shekhinah fled from him. It means that he didn't realize, nistalku mimenu Shekhinah, he didn't realize that the Shekhinah was also involved in the selling of Yosef. And that's why he said, Shema Psul Yeshbecha, maybe there's something wrong to his sons, maybe there's something wrong with you. And they said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elekeinu Hashem Echad, that this, the selling of Yosef into Mitzrayim, the forcing of the Shekhinah, into exile is in fact an act of the Shekhinah, that it's God who's doing this. This is one way of reading this story. There's another way, and this is the way of Ishbitz, that Yaakov Avinu, he wanted not to reveal when the end's going to happen. The end can happen every day. Ani ma'amin be'emunah shelema b'vias ha-Mashiach. I believe in the coming of the Mashiach. Ve'af al pi she'yisma me'ah, and even though Mashiach may take a long time to come, ha-chakele b'chol yoim she'yovay. He can come today. So why would Yaakov be trying to tell him he's going to come in 190 years from now, or 210 years from now? What's wrong with today? So what does it mean when Yaakov wants to reveal the Ketz, he wants to reveal the end? It means that Yaakov wants to be able to explain to us what it means to live in the end of days. We find this expression, Acharis Hayomim. Yaakov says, Hey Osfu, be gathered. Va'agid alachem, and I will tell you, Isa sheyikra eschem, that which is going to happen to you, Va'acharis Hayomim, in the end of days. If we look at the second chapter of Yeshaya, the prophet Isaiah, it says in the second verse, V'hoyo Ba'acharis Hayomim, and it will be in the end of days, Nochoin yeh har beis Hashem, the house, the mountain of the house of God will be straight, Berosh Hahorim, on the top of the mountains, V'nisomig voice, it will be raised up from the valleys, V'noharu elov kol hagoyim, and all the nations will flow to the mountain of the house of God, V'holchu amim rabim, and many nations will go, V'omru, and they will say, L'chuvenale el har Hashem, let's go to the mountain of God, El Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. V'yoreinu midrochav, and he will teach us of his ways. V'neilcho ba'orechosav, and we will walk in his paths. Ki mitzion teitzei toiru udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. This, the beginning here says, V'hoyu ba'acharis hayomim, it will be at the end of days. Nochoin yihiyeh har beis Hashem. So the word nochoin, Rashi, according to the Targum, he says, metakein. It will be fixed. But as a translation of nochoin, it's not a really satisfying translation. Ishbitz has another way of understanding this. You know, Shlomo told a story. He said, a lot of people think, the Torah is a book of rules. This is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're not supposed to do, but that's not really what the Torah is. The Torah is the Torah of Chayim, it's the Torah of life. And the life, a person has life, whether he's going on the right road, whether he's going on the wrong road, a person, or if you're alive, it means you have the Torah. And if you look, Shlomo says, if you look at the Shalas HaTshuvas, you look all the Sephorim, hundreds of Sephorim that are written when people go wrong and they don't know what to do, or they've done the wrong thing and now they're trying to fix what they're doing, or there's some kind of, you know, an argument going on where two people are definite, somebody's definitely lying, somebody stole something, somebody cheated. Half the Sephorim that we have are because people went the wrong way. So Shlomo says, let me tell you a story. One time I needed to go to Reb Moshe Feinstein. He said, I'm going to tell you the names, but there was a young man from the yeshiva, and he got engaged to this girl. But because he was from a very rabbinic family, a very noble family, and she came from a very simple family. Her father was a butcher. He didn't tell anybody. He didn't tell his parents. He didn't tell his family. He was embarrassed to say, "I've fallen in love with this girl, and she comes from a very simple family." But he knew that this girl that he'd married, she so much wanted to be part of something noble. So Shlomo continues, he says, without saying anything bad, because he couldn't tell anybody that, he's getting married and this and that, and it dragged out, and he got her pregnant. Now that she's pregnant, he thinks to himself, you know what? Sie passt nicht für meine Mischbuche. She doesn't belong in my family. My family is such a high-class family, and he abandoned her. He gave her some money. He said, here, have the baby aborted. And she feels like killing herself. So Shlomo said, the truth was, her father's an Elch Yid. He may have been a butcher, but he was a very beautiful Yidel who used to spend his time in the Beis HaMedrash singing the Tehillim. And this girl had told her father, I'm in love with this yeshiva man, this young rabbi, and he'd been so delighted that she's going to marry this young rabbi, and now what she's going to say, I'm pregnant and I've got nobody. And so Shlomo said, so because I knew her and I knew that she's getting married to this young man, I called her up one day and I said, Nu, how are you doing? When are you getting married? And she said to me, don't talk to me about men, I'm finished with men. So Shlomo said, because I was a good friend with her, I said to her, I don't want to cause you any pain or anything, but are you pregnant? Shlomo said, because the Gemara says that a woman who's pregnant, she swears off all men, she hates all men. So if she hates all men, must be something like that. And she said, what are you talking about? She put the phone down. Shlomo said, then the next day, I got a phone call to be in a certain cafe at a certain time, and I walked in there, and there was this young woman. He said, I didn't even recognize her, she looked so bad. And she told him everything that had happened, and I can't show myself at home, and the doctors have told me that by next week my pregnancy is going to show, I'm going to kill myself. And Shlomo said to her, but it's not just yourself, it's you, it's the baby. So he said to her, you're such a beautiful young woman, surely there's somebody who wants you, surely there's somebody that you met. She said, yeah, there was a young man that I met, but he couldn't make his mind up. He said he wanted me, and then he didn't say, and then this, and I thought I'll find somebody who's got, who knows his own mind, and I left that guy, and look what I found. I found somebody who knew his own mind. So Shlomo said, so go talk to him, tell him everything. So she went back to this young man that she had walked away from, and she told him, look, I'm pregnant, and he said instantly, I'll marry you. It doesn't matter what's going on, I'll marry you. Whatever you will need, whatever you want, I'll take care of. So Shlomo said, then came a big halachic question. The halacha is, can't marry a woman who's pregnant with somebody else's baby. You have to wait until the baby's born. As according to some opinions, you have to then wait until the baby's weaned. So he thought, this is bigger than me. I'm going to go to Reb Moshe Feinstein. He said, if I had gone to any other Rav, any other rabbi would have said, look, the law is the law, the halacha is halacha. If she's got a problem that she's going to commit suicide, let her go and see a psychiatrist, right? So Shlomo said, Baruch Hashem, Reb Moshe Feinstein was a holy Yid. When I told him the story, he said to me, I have to find her some kind of a heter. Give me 12 hours. Come back 8:30 in the morning, and I'll see what I can do. So Shlomo said, Mestomer, Reb Moshe spent all night, because when I got to him in the morning, he said, I found a heter. And she married, and Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Shlomo used to say, you see, the Torah goes with us even when things are not good. If we're connected to the Torah on such a deep level, that even when I'm sinning, the Torah mechavenes oisi, the Torah directs me and tells me what I need to do. And in fact, there's a tshuva in Igros Moshe. So the Moshe Feinstein's halachic decisions are printed in seven volumes. In the first volume of Evan Ho'ezer, in Simon Lamed Beis, it's on the 16th of Iyar, 1955, it's a tshuva. It says, Yedidi Hanichbad, my dear honored friend, Shlomo Kalibach Shlita. And this is the tshuva in which Reb Shlomo asked him the question, and it's almost 10 pages long, in which Reb Moshe Feinstein discusses, and he finds a heter that this woman and this man were able to marry, even though she was pregnant by somebody else. I just find it interesting that it's Simon Lamed Beis. I remember when somebody said to me, you know, you need to go to the Tanya and learn Simon Lamed Beis. And everybody knows that with the Gedolei Yisrael, that the chapter numbers are equally done with Ruach HaKodesh, like the Torah itself. I remember learning Simon Lamed Beis in the Tanya, and it talks about how if somebody's heart has a pirud between somebody else's heart, that this is a pirud levovois, that this is a putting up barriers between the hearts of one yid and another yid, that this is like making a pirud inside God, like setting up walls inside God, that this is a terrible, terrible thing. And Simon Lamed Beis, I remember it, and everybody talks about the simonim of the Tor Shulchan Aruch, that the way that the numbers of the chapters came out, it's clear that the Balaturim was working with Ruach HaKodesh. I want to say that, you know, this Reb Moshe Simon Lamed Beis, he's written to Shlomo. So, Nochoin Yia Har Beis Hashem, Nochoin, the word Nochoin, the Ishbitzer says it doesn't mean it'll be fixed. That Vahoya Ba'acharis Hayomim, that the prophet Isaiah is saying that it will be at the end of days it will be fixed. No, that's not what it means. Nochain, it means that there'll be a kavana. The word kavana doesn't mean so much intent as it means direction. Nochain Yehabes Hashem means that in the Acharis Hayomim, at the end of days, the things that we do will be directed. The direction that we're going, the direction that everybody is going, is El Habes Hashem, to the mountain of the house of God. Yaakov Avinu, he wanted more than anything to explain to us how it's going to be at the end of days, how it's going to feel at the end of days, what our life is going to look like, what it is going to be a Jew at the end of days. And God wouldn't let him. God wouldn't allow him to reveal that. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, if the Torah says that Yaakov said, Hey osvu ve'agido lachem, gather and I will tell you what's going to happen at the end of days, then the Torah wouldn't say it if it didn't happen. So obviously it did happen. Yaakov did tell us. So what is it that Yaakov told us? The Zohar HaKadosh, page 22, of Bereishis, says, Vayoyme Elohim, God said, Nasa Adam, let's make man. So Zohar HaKadosh says, Soid Hashem li Reyov, God's secrets, they go to those who fear him. Posach Hahu Sabbath de Sabin, the elder of the elders, the Zayda of the Zayda, the grandfather of the grandfathers, the most ancient of ancient ones, opened up and said, Shimon, Shimon, Manhu da'oma vayoyme elekim, who was it who said, and God said, let us make man. Maininhu hocho hai elekim, who is the God who's being talked about here? Adhochi, while the rabbis are asking themselves what's going on, Porach hahu sabo de sabin, this Zayda of Zaydas, this grandfather of grandfather, this ancient of ancient ones, flew away, v'loi chamole, and he couldn't be seen. U'kemad shamar Reb Shimon to have a korele Shimon Shimon, and since Reb Shimon Bayichoy heard that he's being called Shimon Shimon and not Rabbi Shimon, Omer lechavroi, he said to the friends, Vaday hai hu kutsh brichu de'itma bei va'atik yom en yotzev, this Sabo de Sabin, this ancient, ancient ones, this must be the Holy Blessed One about whom Daniel says he sits, and the Holy Ancient, and the Ancient One of Days, he sits. And it must mean that now permission has been given. If I've been called Shimon, Shimon, it must mean that permission has been given to reveal all the mysteries that have been hitherto hidden. You know, the question is, why Yaakov, why does he begin? Basically, he doesn't curse Shimon and Levi, but, you know, he comes pretty close. Orur apam, cursed is their anger. Ki az. And then, even before that, when he talks to Reuven b'choriata, he says, Reuven, you are my firstborn, you're my firstborn, but you lost it all. Leadership is taken from you, given to this. The priesthood is taken from you, given to the other. Only when he gets to Yehuda does he open up with blessings. See, Yaakov wanted to forget. As soon as Yaakov gathered all his children together, the resentment at what they had done to him came up. And he said, Master of the universe, please help me let go my resentment. But you see, for Yaakov to let go his resentment, he has to forget his pain. For Yaakov to forget his pain means to forget. If he forgets his pain, he forgets a lot of things. If there's any forgetting, as we talked last week, that shikra is darkness. So Yaakov can have it either or. Either he remembers everything, in which case he can't find it in himself to bless them. Or he forgets the pain, in which case he can't reveal to them the mystery. So these three, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, they don't get blessed here. Moshe fixes them at the end of his life in Vezois HaBrocha. He says, Yichi Reuven va'al yomois. Reuven, live and don't die. And Levi, ule Levi omar tumecho ve'urecho. And Leish Chasidecho, Moshe Rabbeinu fixes Reuven and Levi. Shimon, he doesn't fix. He can't fix. And this is the secret of the exile that we're in. Shimon. When we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we talked about how the curses that are in Deuteronomy, there's one for each of the tribes, but not for Shimon. So Yaakov has a problem with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and so he leaves them. He doesn't even say V'zois HaBrocha until it's all over. And then he says, and this is the blessing that Yaakov blessed his children. But when he's starting out, he doesn't even start out as a blessing because God won't let him. Moshe Rabbeinu, he starts out V'zois HaBrocha SheBerach Moshe. This is the blessing that Moshe blessed. And Moshe, he's clear, Yechi Reuven, he speaks in the imperative. Reuven, live. So Moshe blesses really forcefully, but he doesn't mention even Shimon. He says, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. And the Medrash says that when he said, God, hear the voice of Yehuda, he was hinting at Shimon, because his mother calls him Shimon, Ki Shama Hashem Ki Snua Anoichi. Leah calls her son Shimon because God heard that I am the hated one. And she calls his son Shimon, which means listening. So there's something about Shimon. And Yaakov, in his prophecy, he says, come gather, I'll tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. Come together, Vishimu b'nei Yaakov, Vishimu el Yisrael. Listen, listen, and again listen. And what is it that the brothers answered him when he said, Shem Psul Yesh B'nechem, maybe there's something wrong with him? They said, Shema Yisrael. Listen. The problem is, we're not listening. What is it we're supposed to listen? So, when God is about to make human beings, he says, Nase Adam, let us make man. Hahu Sabu de Sabin says, Shimon, Shimon. And the Chachamim, ever since the time of the Zohar, they've said that, when God says, let us make man, he's really referring to Reb Shimon. So, Shimon, the Ishbitzer says that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who writes the Zohar, who reveals all the mysteries of the Torah, that he's from the tribe of Shimon. So, what is it we don't know about Shimon? In Sefer Yetzirah, we were saying that in chapter 5, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the letter Tes, the ninth letter of the Torah. And this is associated with the tribe of Shimon. The letter Tes, its secret is inside. The secret of the letter Tes is inside. The letter Tes comes over and wraps inside itself. Tuva goniz begavader. The Zohar Kodesh says the goodness of the letter Tes is hidden inside itself. You see, generally speaking, we say that, sight, being able to see, is the greatest of the senses. And it may be the greatest of the senses, but it's not the deepest. The deepest of the senses is the sense of hearing. Because hearing, you can only see as far as, the horizon. You can only see what is on the outside that is reflected. The light that reflects off things is what you see. But hearing, you can hear from the other end of the world, and you can hear from the depth, and you can hear from the places that you can't see. The tribe of Shimon never received its own territory in the land. The tribe of Shimon received its territory inside that of the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda is the heart. Yehuda is the heart of the Jewish people. and the heart, Yaakov Avinu was not allowed to judge the heart. He could be judgmental about Reuven and Shimon and Levi, and then when he came to Yehuda, he had no choice but to let go of his anger. Because Yehuda is the one who's so broken inside that if Yaakov were to express anger at Yehuda, he would never be able to deal with it. He would never be able to cope with it. He would never be able to manage with it. So as soon as Yaakov reached saying something to Yehuda, God opened his eyes and Yaakov's mood completely changed. And his mouth and his tongue and his lips became full of blessing and gentleness and giving. And all the harshness was gone. So why does it have to happen that way, that Yaakov is not allowed to be gentle and to be blessing and to be full of tenuva, of sweetness, when he's speaking to Reuven and Shimon and Levi? You know, before we came out of Egypt, Moshe says, "Oh, the Yidden won't listen to me. Paro didn't listen to me. Ve'ech yishmaeni." So how does it go here? It says, "Vayedab ben Moshe kenu bnei Yisrael." Moshe spoke. He said everything that God had told him to the Yidden. "Ve'lo yishomu el Moshe," and they didn't listen. "Mikoy tzeruach me'avoyda kosho." They couldn't listen to Moshe because of the hard work. "Vayedab Hashem el Moshe lemi." God speaks to Moshe. Says, "Come. Boy Dabel Paramelech Mitzrayim, come to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he'll send the Eden from his land." Moshe, Vaydabel Moshe Lefnei Hashem. Moshe speaks before God, saying, "Hey Bnei Yisrael Lo Yishamu Elayif." The Eden didn't listen to me. "Ech Yishmeni Paro." How is Pharaoh going to listen to me? "Vani Aral Sefusai." And I, my lips are uncircumcised. I can't speak. I'm not a speaker. So the Torah says, "Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe el Aaron." God spoke to Moshe and Aaron. He commanded them, to the Jewish people and to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to bring the Eden out of Mitzrayim. "Eile roshe beisavoysam." These are the heads of the houses, of the paternal houses, Bnei Reuven. And then for the next few verses, we have a yichus, a letter, a yichus brief. We have a letter telling us who gave birth to whom. Of three tribes, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. That's all. It tells us who all the families of Reuven were, who all the families of Shimon were, and who all the families of Levi. And then God says to Moshe, "Don't worry. Everything that I told you is going to happen is going to happen. I'm going to make you a god over Pharaoh." So what's happened here? Moshe said to God, "You know, Nebuch the Yidden are such trouble, they're not going to listen to me. How? Pharaoh's for sure not going to listen to me." So we get a yichus, we get a family tree, not of all the 12 tribes, right? Of these three tribes that Moshe, that Yaakov didn't bless. As soon as these three tribes take their place in the Torah, it's the end of the exile. It's so important. Had Yaakov been able to bless Reuven and Shimon and Levi, there never would have been an exile. And that's what happened. Yaakov wanted to bless them. He wasn't allowed to, because had he blessed them, there would have been no exile. Why there has to be an exile? God says, "Yaakov, I can't tell you." So Yaakov says, "Well, let me tell my children at least what is going to be ba'acharis hayomim, what's going to be the end of days." And God says, "No." But you know something? Yaakov wanting to tell us. When Yaakov said, "Come, and I will tell you what is going to happen to you at the end of days," The power of Yaakov saying that was enough to make a permanent change inside us. We were never again the same people, even though Yaakov was not allowed to express what's going to happen to us, because God wouldn't let him. In fact, the Midrash gives a mushel. There was this man who worked for the king. He was a worker, slave. Before he dies, he says to his kids, "Come here, let me show you that really I have a letter from the king saying that I'm not a slave anymore. So you guys, you really are all, you thought you were slaves. You're not slaves. Here, let me show you." He's just about to show them the bill of emancipation when the king says, "Hey, what, you've invited all your children and you didn't invite me?" And the king interrupts the goings on. It's a very interesting moshul. So it's really saying that Yaakov wanted to show us that we are free, and God butts in and says, "What, you want to show your kids and you know you didn't invite me here?" In other words, God says to Yaakov, "You're not allowed to show your children that they're free. Because if they know that they're free, they're not in exile." So then what was the purpose, the Zohar Kodesh says? What was the purpose of Yaakov trying? And the Ishbitzer says, this is our Kabbalah. Ze Kabbalah Yisenu. The Radzina says it in his Pirush on the Zohar. He uses that expression. Kefi Kabbalah Yisenu, according to the Kabbalah that I received from my father, that I received from my Zayde, the Heilige Ishbitzer. This is the Kabbalah. Yaakov gave us so much confidence and strength that it doesn't matter what happens to us. Inside us, the heart, it never gets touched even by despair. Where Reb Nachman used to say, "Ein shum yeyush ba'olam klal," there is no such thing as despair, is because Reb Nachman was so in touch with the heart. And inside the heart, no Jew ever despairs. The problem is that we live in a time where we don't know even our own heart. Person can give tzedakah, right? What could be greater than giving charity? You'd see somebody desperate and you give him some money, but you don't know what he's going to do with the money. He could do something that is not supposed to be done. So you take the chesed, you take the finest midah, you take the finest thread of loving kindness that runs through the universe from the beginning to the end, and you don't know if it's good or not. How could you not know if it's good or not? It's chesed, it's love. Yeah, and this person may take the love that you give him and do something unloving with it. Buy himself a bottle of whiskey and then go home and beat his wife and children. Is that what you meant when you gave him the chesed, the love? We live in a time you don't know. You can't know. Everything that we do is so mixed up, the good and the bad. You can't know. So the Ishbitzer says that's what Yaakov is saying. He wanted to teach us what the prophet Isaiah said. Doesn't matter what we do. Everything is going to be towards the Holy of the Holies. Nochain, the kavana is going to be, we are going to be led, we're going to be directed. Like Shlomo with the story that he told of this Nebuch, this young woman, and we have Simon Lamed Beis in Igros Moshe, we have the chapter 32 in Evin Ezra of Igros Moshe, we have the Torah from this story of this young man who was not a nice person, who got this young woman pregnant and then she wanted to kill herself. And what was nice, what's Torah about this story? This is an anti-Torah story, but we have Simon Lamed Beis, we have the heart of Evin Ha'ezer here. That's what Shlomo wanted to tell us, that's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell us. But he wasn't allowed to say it in so many words, because Shimon, the tribe of Shimon, is the letter Tes, which is the letter of Emes, which is the chosam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the seal that God puts on everything. And if it was revealed, if the inside of the test, if that arm of the test, instead of swinging in, if it were to swing out, it wouldn't be a test. It would be a different letter. The test, the toiv, the goodness is all hidden on the inside. And if Yaakov Avinu had said one bad thing to Yehuda, we would never have been able to get out of exile, because the heart would have despaired. But inside the heart of Yehuda is Shimon. And that's why it's all Shimon, Shimon. Shim'u El Yaakov Avichem. Listen. Even Yaakov himself doesn't realize what he's saying. The holiest of all the tribes is Shevet Shimon. And at the end of time, the fixing of Shimon will be clear to us, that when God was saying, let us make man, he was talking about Shimon. Shimon will be the leader, and Shimon will be the Rebbe, and Shimon will be the Kohen Godon, and Shimon will be the Mashiach. So how could that be? Yaakov Avinu is not allowed to tell us. So how do we get there? And the emes is, you can't get there, you have to listen. You can't see it. You have to experience it in your heart. Which is to say, you have to hear, Yehuda is called Yehuda because he has Yud Ke Vav Ke and a Dalet. Dalet means poverty. So wherever you have the divine, you have the Dalet, you have the brokenness. And Yehuda, he's the leader, he's the greatest, because inside him he has Yudke Vavke, he has the divine, and he has the Dalet, which is nothing. It's nothing of its own. Dalet just receives, doesn't give, there's nothing to give. So inside the Dalet, inside the Yehuda, is Shimon. In order to access what is the fixing of Shimon, you have to open your ears, which is to say, not to look at what you see, but to listen to what's being said. If we can listen, you know, somebody says something to me, and I don't take the words and read them like words on a page, but I listen to what the person is telling me from their heart. That's the fixing. Nochon Yeh Habes Hashem, what God wants from us is not that we're trying to control the world. We can't control. What's to control? Just that I carry on believing that God is in charge of the world. It's so hard to believe. There's so much darkness. There's so much confusion. But if I could really believe that I'm going to be shown with my own eyes how everything was good, how there was, I never even had a headache, and I thought my head was splitting open, and I'll be shown at the end it wasn't even a headache. If I can hold on to that, that's what Yaakov succeeded in giving us when he said, the end of days. He had so much passion that he wanted to give us, that even though God closed his mouth and took it away, he put it inside us. And it's there. If it wasn't there, we wouldn't be able to hold out. So what is that? I'm trying to listen to my own self, who's my own self, my soul, my neshama is trying to tell me, Heshi, you believe in the end of days. You believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us that everything was good, that no Yid stepped outside. And even if it says in the Torah that this is the halacha, and this is the oinish, and this is the punishment, and even though somebody did something and then was punished, it's all like a child who takes his mouth away from his mother's breast and turns his face away. That's, you know, to the mother who's looking at this baby, is this child turned away? You know, inside the child says, oi, I lost my mother. And turns his mouth back and attaches himself back to his mother. And that is the level of our disconnection from words. It's our perception of our disconnection. That's the whole of history has just been that. And Yaakov wanted to tell us, but you know, if we could really see that, we already be there. I bless you and me, we should be able to hear inside ourselves that voice that was there when Yaakov said, gather and let me tell you the end of days. And to be able to know how much koyach he put inside us to be able to last until the end of time. Shkoyach.